Let us then turn in God's Word. We have come to the end of 2 Thessalonians, so we will jump to an Old Testament book. And I was trying to decide where I thought we should go in the Old Testament. And a book that has been on my heart for a while is the book of Daniel. And so we turn to Daniel chapter 1 as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. As you can probably surmise, because my son's name is Daniel, this is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And I think it is a major challenge to us as Christians. So let us read together God's Word. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure of the house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years' training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, then the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, Daniel is a man who chose to serve God in the hardest of situations. Sadly, today, people come up with all sorts of weird things out of the Bible, one of which now is the Daniel diet. Is this about eating vegetables? Certainly not. What do we have here before us in God's Word? We have some children. And I say that very clearly. These were not middle-aged guys with a foundation of something. These would have been children. They were brought into a very hard situation. Their land was destroyed. They were taken captive. And did they use that as an opportunity to say, well, then I'm just going to go along and get along. I'm going to go with the flow because flow seems to be against us. Is that what they did? No. They stood on the Word of God. They stood on God's truth. They made their hard situation harder by doing that. But did God leave them out in the wind? God takes care of them, doesn't He? It's too easy for us as human beings to say, well, it's going a little rough. I'm going to live like the world does because it's going to be easier that way. It never is. And yet we think. And don't you and I just last night I saw somebody driving around in a nice pickup truck and I said, man, wow, wouldn't that be nice? I said, but what am I here for? Who am I? That's not my position. I was envious. And brothers and sisters, it's so easy for us as human beings to say, I want to have the pleasures of this world. What does Hebrews 11 tell us? That these people stood up, were counted, and it didn't matter how hard it got on them. And what does it continue to say? Of whom the world was not worthy. Do we live in this world living like the world? Or do we live as God's servants? We read that in our call to worship, Psalm 1. Do we sit in the path? Or walk in the path? Sit in the seat? And so as we look at this passage of God's Word in verses 1 through 7, we see that they're given good in the midst of a whole bunch of bad, and it's a trial for them. It's a test. In verses 8 through 14, we see their commitment to obedience in the middle of this. In verses 15 through 21, we see God's blessings provided through obedience. God's people continue in obedience no matter what He sends their way. And we got to start with that fact. Why are they in Babylon? Just read those first verses. Verse 2. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. They carried off the articles of the house of God. This was a grave destruction. And it was certainly judgment. But did this come by chance? Was God out of the room at the time? Even in the middle of trials, and certainly this was a culmination of great sins for Judah and for Israel. Yet this was not outside of God's hand. And the Lord gave Judah into the hands of their enemies. And so, we can talk about their sins. God had called Judah back again and again to Himself in the middle of sins, but they wouldn't turn back. And now finally God sent them into captivity. And yet, even in the middle of this, we have an awesome fact. The articles of the house of God were carried and stuck into this temple, the house of this false god to be treasure there. And we read, jump back to Ezra and Nehemiah, God brought them back by weight. God knows every servant of His. God carries. God directs. We don't have to say, well, then God forgot about them. Did He? No way. So they're given into the hand of this foreign king. And as I said, these are kids. These are 9 to 11 year olds. And they're pressed into service for the hands of this hated and foreign king who had just killed their families. Isaiah 39, verse 7, and they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. God is the one who sets kings over us. That's what Romans 13 tells us. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so the best of the land were taken to be servants. The choice young men, we read, verse 4, in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace. Man looks on the outside. But there's more to these boys, isn't there? And we have to remember that fact, too. That it's not what's on the outside that's important. It's what's in our heart. What do we believe? And so these choice young men were then provided the best in the land. They're appointed daily provisions from the king's table. They're given 3 years of training to be trained in the best manner the Chaldeans had available. Think of Moses being trained by the Egyptians as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so we have Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah taken. And they're renamed in the middle of this, verse 7. They had everything taken away from them, even their names. Their names, by the way, reference God. That they are Hananiah, Yah in there. Mishael, El, God's name. Or reference to God. Yah is reference to Yahweh, God's name. Their names reference God. What do? They take them and they push them around so that they reference their false gods. They were made eunuchs. But in the midst of this, they were given the best food in the kingdom from the king's own table. Many people will give up anything to have the good stuff on this earth. And here they had lost everything good they had. And Daniel says, I don't even want to eat your good food. Now notice it's not a starvation diet. It's not a, hey, I'm not going to eat anything. But he's committed and they're committed to obedience. Daniel purposes not to defile himself and get this bad situation. And Daniel purposes not to defile himself with the king's delicacies. They have good food. People take refuge in food so easily. Daniel seeks to be obedient to God's food laws and not to eat that which had probably been sacrificed to idols. Not taking a hard situation and saying, well, then I can do what I want to. I can justify disobedience. That's easy for us to do, isn't it? But God had worked in Daniel's heart to say, no, I'm going to be obedient to God even in this foreign land, even in this hard situation. And God brought Daniel into favor with the chief of the eunuchs. Daniel's obedience had already been blessed by God. That Daniel had made that decision within his heart. And God gave him favor there with the chief of the eunuchs. But what? He goes to the chief of the eunuchs and he doesn't get anywhere. It's another brick wall, right? This doesn't get easier. I thought I was being obedient. God's going to open up the doors of heaven, right? No. Doesn't always work that way, does it? He runs from one brick wall to the next. And so even though he was in favor with this chief of the eunuchs, Daniel goes to a lower steward. Daniel won't take no for an answer. And we as Christians ought not to take no for an answer in being obedient to God. Daniel says, you know what? I'm going to go to this lower steward. I'm going to say, okay, test me 10 days. Now, how much does your countenance change eating different kinds of food in 10 days? Any of you been on a diet? Do you start getting totally different countenance? Does your face, does your appearance change in 10 days? It can change a little. But you're not really deep into a diet in 10 days. Believe me, I've done some. But who is guiding? Who is taking care of them? Daniel trusts that God will take care of it. We read verse 13. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fits, and so deal with your servants. Daniel trusts God. In the smallest thing, what do we worry about what we look like? But quite honestly, sometimes in their business, in that sort of business, that was a big deal. Sadly, in our culture, people are led around by what people look like. You gotta have the right looking sort of person on the news station so they'll believe them. And being good looking, according to our culture's perspective, gives you so much credibility. And being just a little ugly takes it totally away. Is that what's important? We place so much worry about what we look like. And yet, who provides? Who provides the victory? So they were tested for 10 days. And what happened? 10 days of vegetables, they looked fatter and better than all the others. God takes care of us as His people. God provides those blessings, those exterior blessings which were necessary in this situation, through their obedience. They would not compromise with the world. As we said, this doesn't always happen. I love the witness, and Lord willing, in coming weeks we'll get there, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3:16 and following, Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down before this image. And I love their answer. They say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand. Okay. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. What do they say? God can deliver us. We don't know if he's going to. Guess what? I don't care. It's what they said, translated into simple English. And so, we need to live in this world. And we need to not fear man. What can man do to us? And we need to follow God. We need to purpose that in our heart beforehand. I will do what God says without question. And so their portion of delicacies is taken away. They're fed vegetables. And what happens? God gave them wisdom, knowledge, and skill in literature and wisdom. Daniel understood dreams. Now they certainly have eternal wisdom. This is just a witness to that fact. That their hearts are trusting in God. But then God gives them wisdom in the matters of this world as well. And at the time for the test before Nebuchadnezzar, at the interview, none was found like them. And they served before the king. In fact, they were how many times? 10 times better than all of the astrologers and all of the magicians in his realm. Now, that's pretty easy when magicians and astrologers are baloney, right? You have to realize that. Our world comes up with stupid ideas. Oh, this is going to tell me truth and that's going to tell me truth. The true God tells us truth. Where do we need to look? Stars? Magic? How about let's get this thing out? The Bible. Read it. By the way, if you got lost with reading the Bible with us, we just started Matthew now, so we can keep going. If you didn't keep up with us, I highly suggest it got a little tough there with the prophets, but let's get back into it. Because we need to know what God says. We need to be grounded on that. And then all of the ideas of man, which man has, you know, wisdom over here, quote and unquote, and wisdom over there. What does Paul say, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2? It's foolishness. And whatever the king examined him, God knows. Man's ideas are always guesses. Who gives wisdom? God does. Where is our wisdom in? Getting all the smarts and everything we can get? The best education we can possibly send our kids to? It has to be here first, in our hearts. It has to come from faith in God. Do you think these kids were the smartest kids in all of Babylon to start out with? No, but they had faith. They trusted God. And Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. He outlived at least 3 kings. Daniel spoke wisdom to the highest. They often didn't like it so much, did they? Doesn't mean his life was a bed of roses, does it? that he has an eternal home and an eternal place. He doesn't have to worry about, as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, go to grass. God will deliver us either way. And so as we look at Daniel, he is an example for us of what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not all this other stuff. It's easy, isn't it? We run around in this world. This looks good over here. That looks good over there. What I really need is the Word of God. I need to found my life on that. And then all of this other stuff, the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness, we see it for what it really is, chaff blown around. This is smart over here, that's smart over there. It's all foolishness. We need to be grounded in the truth of God. God's people continue in obedience no matter what He sends their way. And God will send hardship. Don't get me wrong. God promises that. But it is through many trials that we must enter eternal life. And brothers and sisters, look at Daniel. It's going to be so much fun. I look forward to it. As I said, one of my favorite books in the Bible. To be reminded of what it means to live in a world that is opposed to Christ. We've got to realize that. Don't be imagining that this world is a friend to us as Christians. We need to realize that this world is not going to be easy. It's a time of test. Testing. Will we be faithful to God? And God will bless us. That's what Psalm 1 again. They will be like a tree planted by the river of waters. We don't need to fear man blowing and making storms every which way. If we're grounded in the Word of God, we can weather it all. And we have eternal life given to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us bow our heads, our hearts before God in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we would truly be founded upon Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is more firm than the ground beneath our feet. And we pray, Lord, that we would seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness and trust in You to provide all that is necessary for this world and for eternity. We praise You, Lord, for the gifts that You have given to us in Christ Jesus, that they are eternal in the heavens. They are blessings for this world, certainly, and we rejoice in them here. But we pray, Lord, that we would truly look forward and rejoice in the promises You have for us. That these are yea and amen because of the fact that Christ has already purchased them for us. We pray now, Lord, that You would bless us to live our lives in thanksgiving to Him. That we would truly make our commitment to serve Christ with all that we are. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.